Amen. Thank God that he turns impossible situations around and he makes them possible. Aren't you glad with God all things are possible? Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. Do want to thank our praise team always. They do such a dynamic job. I appreciate everything that they do. And the hand of the Lord's on them. That's all right. Would you give it up for them? Amen. We started this a few months ago, or it's been longer than a few months ago. And that is, we don't start our practice off with just going after it, but they start with prayer and they end with prayer. And I know that causes them to come earlier. And so I do want to thank them again for everything that they do. They are incredible. They do set the tone of our services. I do want to just tag on with Brother Rincon. I appreciated everybody that helped out at Spiritual Boot Camp. Appreciate Brother Rincon's passion and desire for it. If you've helped out or whatever it is, would you just give a great big hand of appreciation to all those that worked and helped out? It was awesome. It was a success. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 15. Verse number 1 through 5, we'll begin reading. And good to have everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen, amen. Bible says, now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Absalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David, somebody say David, did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything. Somebody shout anything. That he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. I want to talk to you tonight, hopefully I won't be too long, on this thought, don't turn off the light. So turn to your neighbor and say, don't turn off the light. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. You and I are living in the midst of a massive moral decay. People throughout our land are beginning to believe that there is no fixed point on the moral compass of life. We see almost every day scandals in the government, kickbacks in business, drug and alcohol abuse, pervasive lying, no respect of authority, no respect for godly counsel, no thoughts of tomorrow, calling the light darkness and calling the darkness light. Do your own thing. Live your own life. Do what makes you feel good. Live the way you want to live and act the way you want to act and live the way you want to live, because after all, it's your life. The world wants to tell you that if you're not happy being a man, you could change your gender and we'll call you a hero. It's true. If you don't want your baby, you can kill it. You can abort it. You have, I believe, up to 21 weeks to do so. Just don't kill a tree and don't kill a whale, because they believe in saving trees and saving whales. We live in a world that loves to remove the ancient landmarks. We live in a world that wants to remove all the monuments and they want to move out anything. They just the other day took out the word Boy Scouts because it offended them. They want to remove God from the schools and they want to take away prayer because they want to promote do your own thing. There is a new bill that was passed in the Senate, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. And I forget the number of on the docket, but in reality, it was this case that you cannot tell a transgender person that it is a sin for them to be that way and they must change the other way. If you try to do that, for a monetary gain. And in reality, they're going against everything biblically. And they're even going against the Bible. So there will be a time where they can no longer sell the Bible because it goes against their lifestyle and their living. Because the world's motto is live for the moment. Can I tell you something tonight? We live in a very dark day. We are living in the last days. Last days are not coming. Last days are here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Sounds like our world today. The Bible said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come in the knowledge of the truth. Those are the days that we're living in. They are dark days. They are evil days. We're not getting better. This world is getting worse. They are despisers of those that are good. It's okay to be whatever you want. Just don't be a Christian is what the world's motto is. That's the day that we're living in. And I'm convinced tonight that the darker the night, the brighter our light needs to shine. I'll say that again. The darker this world gets, the brighter the church should get. This world needs the light. This city needs the light. Your job needs the light. Your family needs the light. Your homes need the light. Your children need the light. Your marriage need the light. We need to shine Jesus as bright as we can. We need him. We need his light. And we need men and women that know how to pray. We need men and women that will make up their mind. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live holy. I'm going to act holy. I'm going to dress holy. This little light of mine, yeah, I'm going to let it shine. We need to shine for Jesus in this dark day that we're living in. I just need Joshua's tonight that'll make up their mind. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I need some Daniels in the house tonight that'll say, hey, I'll give myself to prayer. I need some three Hebrew boys that'll make up their mind that I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to bow down. We're going to let our light shine no matter what this world says about us. I need some Esthers tonight that'll say, if I perish, I perish. Why? Because we've got to let this world know about Jesus. We've got to shine Jesus everywhere we go. We've got to shine him at school. We've got to shine him at our job. And we've got to shine him at the grocery store. Everywhere we go, we must shine Jesus. And I submit to you tonight that we cannot allow our light to go off. Let the storms come, let the winds blow. I'm going to stay in this fight. Anybody want to let your light shine tonight? Anybody not ashamed of this? The Lord said, if you're not ashamed of this, I won't be ashamed of you. I believe that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And we need men and women that'll put their shoulder back, that'll raise their head up and march in this untoward generation. We need somebody that'll make up their mind, give me Jesus or give me death. We've got to let our light shine. I won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't hide it under a bush. Oh, no. I'm going to let it shine. We've got to shine. We've got to shine. We've got to shine. I know it's an old Sunday school song, but you got to get that in your spirit. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. There's a world that needs this. There is family that needs this. And I'm the only Jesus that some will ever see. And you're the only Jesus that they'll ever see. That's why the Bible said, if we hide this gospel, it's hid to them that are lost. If we hide this light, it's hid to them that are in darkness. That's why the Lord says it's a marvelous thing for us to come out of darkness and come into this marvelous light. We've got a job to do. We've got a responsibility to do. And that is, we've got to live this life, not just on Sunday and not just on Wednesday and not just on revival and ladies' day and men's retreats and spiritual boot camp, but we've got to live. This has got to become a lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle. We start shining for Jesus. There are people that will say, you know what? I'm going to take note because they've been with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, this world knows when you've been praying, and this world knows when you haven't been praying. This world knows what you believe, and they know what you don't believe. I need some one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rollers, born-again, heaven-bound, believers in the liberated power of Jesus' name. I need men and women to night that'll let their light shine. Clap your hands unto the Lord. David was without a doubt one of the greatest kings to have ever lived. I believe everybody would agree with me on that. He was the king of Israel. He was a great king. He was a lion slayer. He was a bear slayer. He was a giant killer. Wouldn't that be cool for someone to say, hey, they're a giant killer. Hey, they're a bear slayer. You don't want to mess with Brother Reuben. He can just get a bear's mouth and just rip it up. He's a bear slayer. Wouldn't that be cool for people to say, hey, they're anointed? That's what David was. He was a giant killer. He was a bear slayer. He was a lion slayer. He conquered cities. He was a singer. He was a songwriter. He was a psalmist, and he could play that harp. Bible said there were times that Saul's spirit got evil and David played that thing and that evil spirit departed from him. I'm telling you, that boy could play. Some of you need coffee because you get bad moods. You just need David to play. David was a skilled musician. Maybe you need to pick up a harp, or maybe you need to pick up an instrument and play. It could change the tempo in your home. That's why what you listen to is so vitally important. That what you give yourself to is so vitally important. You need to turn your houses into houses of prayer. David was a man of prayer. David was an anointed king. He was, the Bible said, he was a man after God's own heart. But yet we read in verse number 5 of the 15th chapter of 1 Kings, the Bible said David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. Wouldn't that be cool if there was a period right there? But there wasn't. He said all the days of his life, save only the matter of Uriah the Hittite. He did great things for God. He was mightily used of God. He was anointed. He was a man after God's own heart. He turned not aside from God all the days of his life except the matter of Uriah the Hittite. 2 Samuel chapter 11, 1 says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David, somebody shout, David tarried. David tarried at Jerusalem. While the troops marched off to battle, David stayed home. While the men went to war, David stays home. While the men put their armor on to fight, David removes his armor to sleep. Can I tell you tonight, there is a danger in removing your armor. There is a danger in letting your guard down. There is a danger in stepping back from the things of God. There is a danger in going to sleep when you need to fight. There have been many people that have said, Pastor, I need to take a break. Pastor, I need to back up. Now, Pastor, they always give me a disclaimer. Now I'm not going to leave the church. I'm not going to stop doing this. But I'm going to tell you, the worst part that you could ever do is put it in reverse. There are times you get fatigued. There are times you get tired. There are times that you get yourself in a rut. There are times that you just don't feel it. But I'm telling you, you can't listen to the signs of your flesh. You've got to let your spirit know and let your spirit tell the flesh, you're not going to dictate my commitment or dedication to the things of God. There's no time to step back. There's no time to back up. I'm telling you, what we need to do is keep our armor on, keep our guard up, and we need to march into this fight. Why? Because I'm telling you, there is a war that is raging, and we cannot afford to let our armor go or our guard go down. 2 Samuel 11:2 says this, and it came to pass at evening time. Pretty amazing. It didn't say at morning. It didn't say for some of you young men and young ladies, it didn't say at noontime that you rose. Some of you could sleep till 12 or sleep till 1. I wish I could. My body is not designed like that. There are times I want to sleep, but my body wakes up at 6 in the morning almost every day. And the last couple weeks it was waking up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, ooh, really, God? You want me to pray? How come you can't call me at 8 in the morning or 9 in the morning? Anybody know what I'm talking about? But our young people, they could sleep till 11 or 12. But the Bible doesn't say that David woke up in the morning. Didn't even say that David woke up in the afternoon. It said that David woke up at evening time. He arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And I'm going to tell you, there is a danger in what these eyes behold. That's why a lot of you want to remove fences, but you don't know why the fences are up. That's why before our movement was so dead set against TV. And it was dead set against TV when we had Andy Griffin and we had Leave It to Beaver and we had Roy Rogers and we had the Lone Ranger and Tonto. That they were worried about the corruption of that time. But I'm going to tell you, right now is a dangerous time. And it's a very dangerous thing to give yourself to the images that you put into your brain, because your eyes are the gatekeeper to your soul. And what you put into it and what you feed is what you begin to activate. You begin to react to what your eyesight begins to behold. That's why it's a very dangerous thing for you to have no care or no filter on what you click on. Very danger for you to not give your parents or your friends or your spouse access to your phone. I counsel with a lot of people where the husband or the wife say, I can't believe my wife's asking to look at my phone. I can't believe my husband don't trust me. It's not that they don't trust you. We're trying to hold yourself accountable. I'm going to tell you, any time my wife has full access to my phone, and there are times that I go in and I look at my boy's phone, and there may be times where he's like, Dad, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to protect you. Because I'm telling you, there is an enemy that's crafty. There is an adversary that's out to get you. He's not your friend. He's not someone you can just talk with and commune with, but it's someone that wants to get your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And this anointed king, this giant slayer, this bear and lion slayer, the Bible said at evening time, he arose from his bed. He should have been fighting, should have had his armor on, should have had his sword out. He had that sword from Goliath. He should have had that in his hand, but he didn't. He arose from his bed, the Bible said. At evening time, he looks out and he sees this woman. Sees her bathing. The king's palace at that time could look out and see everything, and he sees her, gets his eyes upon her, starts feeding upon her, and then he inquires about her. This giant slayer inquires about this woman. Said, whose woman is she? And he got a very quick reply. This is Uriah the Hittite's wife. So it wasn't someone that David knew that was single. The king could have anything he wanted. Just an order, a command. And if he didn't get it, he could kill you. So you can't really pass the buck or pass the blame on Bathsheba, but you could pass the buck on David. And we know the story. This king, this anointed man of God, the king of Israel that had no armor on, no longer in the fight, no longer in the battle. We know because he stayed home and he slept and he took off his armor. We know that that enemy came in. That adversary came in, that thief, the Bible said, that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, came upon him when his armor was off. I need moms and dads to keep your armor on. I need young people that'll keep your armor on, that won't go to sleep, that won't stop praying, that won't stop fighting. There is a devil that wants to take you out. There is an enemy that wants to distract you. There is a devil that wants to take you on. If you can hear one thing from Pastor tonight, it's keep your armor on. Keep your fight in. Live for God. Don't turn off the light. Don't stop shining for Jesus. So I'm telling you, we are living in a perverse and wicked generation. And you say, Pastor, why are you preaching like this? Why don't you preach about praise? Why don't you preach about worship? Because I'm telling you, these days are just about ready to be wrapped up, and God's about to call his bride home, and we've got to make ourselves ready. We've got to wake up in the morning. Before we even do anything, we've got to say, God, search my heart. Search the cracks and crevices within. Why? Because I want to please you. I want to think right. I want to act right, and I need your blood to cover me. Come on, you gotta keep your armor on. You gotta keep in the fight. It's not a time to back up, but it's a time to march. It's a time to fight. But we know David did not. We know David had no armor on. Everybody else was fighting in the battlefield, but not David. David stayed home. And we know the story. Nathan even gave that parable. He talked about a traveler. Old message a long time ago. I believe it was Brother J.T. Pugh. Beware of the traveler. You read that parable that David got from Nathan, the prophet. Because he said there was a rich man and there was a poor man that had a ewe lamb. And that rich man took of that poor man's ewe lamb because of the wayfaring man or the traveler. That traveler became a wayfaring man. That traveler was an impure thought. And when David stood up there, and you say that doesn't really, that picture doesn't affect me, and that thing that I'm involved in, and that it affects you. There's a seed that gets planted in you. That's why you got to go home and you've got to cleanse some stuff. You got to take out the music you listen to. You got to watch the lyrics that you're singing. If the lyrics aren't glorifying God, if the lyrics aren't causing you to pray and worship, it's probably the wrong lyrics that you should be listening to. If that movie or whatever thing you're watching or whatever you're clicking on does not make you want to draw closer to God, you better cleanse it from you. Bible says it's better to go to heaven missing an eye than it is to go to hell with all your members intact. I'm telling you, there is a devil, there is an adversary that is on the prowl and it wants to take you out. And David finds himself there. We know the story. Bathsheba comes in and he has his way with Bathsheba, and quickly he gets a word. Bathsheba says, I'm with child. I'm expecting. And David now begins to think, what do I do now? How do I fix it now? How do I cover this up? Have you ever done anything that you say, how can I just make this go away? I've got news for you tonight. You can't cover up sin. Sin will always find you out. You can't lie your way out. You can't pretend it'll just go away. Sin has a way of revealing itself to you. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And you can't play with sin without it affecting you. You can't entertain sin without it leaving a mark on you, because sin will cripple you. Sin will destroy you. Sin will kill everything about you. And we can't play around with it. We've got to run from it. That's why I need moms and dads that'll become protectors of your home. I need moms and dads that'll become spiritual patriarchs in your home. And you've got to rise up in this day and say, you ain't going there. You ain't doing that. You ain't hanging out with them. Oh yeah, we've got to have moms and dads that'll walk in your kids' rooms and begin to plead the blood and evoke the name of Jesus. God, save my baby. God, save my kid. God, wake my boy up. God, you got to pray for your marriage. You got to pray for relationships. You got to bring God into that situation. Got too many homes that are taking God out of it. Letting things occupy your time, occupy your life. We've got too many people that wake up and the first thing they grab is this. There is a study, I forgot the number, but it was over 50 times the average person picks up their phone and looks at it. I'm wanting to say it was 100, but I'll just say 50 times. We are so bound by this crazy device, we don't even know it. I remember ever seeing anybody carrying a rotary phone with them back in the day. And some of you know what I'm talking about, a rotary phone. I used to want to kill that rotary phone. Used to dial that number. And you'd mess up on that last number and you got to start over. Kids don't know anything about that, but we didn't carry that around. Back in my day, we carried those. You wanted music? We carried big old boom boxes on our shoulders. And we cranked that up. You know what I'm saying? That's how it was. But nowadays, everything you want is right here. You walk into homes. You walk into restaurants. You just look over at the person next to you, and they're texting or they're on their phone. We are so captivated by this that it has become a weight. And what the enemy does, it removes our guard. It removes our armor. It causes us, instead of praying and studying us, it causes us to sleep. And I don't know what David's demise was. Well, I do know what it was. He stayed when he should have fought. And the Bible said in 2 Samuel 11, it said this in verse 7, and when Uriah was come unto him, David found out that Bathsheba was pregnant. And so David's like, I'm going to have to get Uriah down here. And so he summons for Uriah. Uriah's out there fighting on the battlefield. And now he gets a summon from the king. And here's how it goes down. And when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. David was trying to get Uriah over to be with his wife. And yet the Bible said in verse 9, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his Lord, and went not down to his house. And when they told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest not thou from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down to the house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife, as thou livest, as thy soul liveth? I will not do this thing. What he was saying was, I'm not going to enjoy the pleasures of my home while I've got men on the battlefield. I've got my armor on, King, and I'm not taking it off because I'm in a war. And David's like, oh my goodness. And so David now resorts to something else. Verse 12, and David said to Uriah, tarry here today,
And also tomorrow, and I'll let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and on the morrow. And when David called him, he did eat and drink before him. And he made him drunk. The king got Uriah drunk. And at evening, he went out to lie on his bed and the servants of his Lord, but went down not to his own house. Uriah had more honor drunk than David had being sober. And he refused to go home. And so David, to his last idea, Brother Garcia, he writes a letter. It came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire from him that he may be smitten and die." Joab received that letter from the king. David didn't know what else to do. David's trying to get out of sin, trying to somehow make it right. Sends that letter given to Uriah. I wonder if Bathsheba even knew the contents of that letter in her husband's hand. I wonder if Uriah hugged David before he left his court that day. I wonder if David's tears were even noticed by Uriah. I wonder how long that David watched one of his top soldiers, an honorable soldier, ride off into the wilderness for the last time. We know the story. Uriah carries his death sentence to Joab. Joab reads that letter from the king. He sends him to the battle with all the troops. And when he got to the hottest part of the battle, he told his troops to come back, leaving an honorable man in the battlefield, leaving Uriah to die. A good man had to die because a king slept. An honorable soldier died that day, all because David stayed home. All because David took off his armor. All because David slept when he should have been fighting. And Uriah died on the battlefield. Choices we make don't only affect our lives, but they affect all those around us. That's why it's so vitally important that you get this for yourself. That it's no longer a mom's religion or a dad's religion or grandma or grandpa's, but it's got to become a relationship. It's got to become inside of your heart. You've got to establish an intimate relationship with God. Because if we don't, all we do is come to church and we clap our hands and we sing our songs and we hear a message preached and it's over and over, a repetitive motion, and all we do is go through the mechanics. The Lord said, there's coming a day that we'll stand before him and we'll say, we prophesied in your name. We preached in your name. We did signs and miracles in your name. And the Lord's going to say, I'm sorry, but I don't know you. Why? Because you never had a relationship with me. All you did was come Sunday. You got cleaned up. You looked great. You talked the talk. You walked the walk. But you did not live it. And God said, I do not know you. Oh, God, help us tonight. Help us to get it for ourselves. Help us to plant it deep inside of our spirits. Help us, God, birth a love for you and a love for your kingdom inside of my heart, because I've got family, I've got friends, I've got loved ones that need this. Don't let Uriah die on the battlefield. If you look up that meaning of that word, Brother Viscara, of Uriah. See, names had meaning in the Bible days. You didn't just
I preached about this a couple weeks ago. You didn't just name a kid Bob or Joe or whatever it was, but names had meaning, Brother Archie. And the meaning of Uriah, you look it up. Jehovah is my light. That was the meaning of Uriah. And when sin got a hold of David, when he tried to run from sin, and Nathan came and said, "You're the man, David." He tried to cover it up, and he killed Brother Victor. Jehovah, my light. When he killed Uriah, he turned the light off. He turned God off. Isn't there a place in the Bible where the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock"? Anybody ever seen that painting of that, of the Lord out there knocking on that door? On the outside, that door is no knob. That means the Lord can't just let himself in. And we think that the Lord is talking to a sinner, but he's not talking to a sinner. He's talking to a backslidden church that found a way, Brother Victor, to have service without him. That found a way to be able to come here and appease our flesh and say, "Hey, I put the time in. I listened to the message. I sang the song. I had a great time," but somehow we kicked him out and we turned the light out. We killed the light just like David killed the light, just like David turned off the light. Oh, because he took off his armor. Oh, because he slept when he should have been fighting. I'm telling you, we can't afford to go to sleep. We can't afford to take our armor off. We've got to let our light shine. So I'm telling you, there is coming a day when the Lord's going to call us. But you say, "Pastor, God forgave David, and God called David a man after his own heart." Brother Alex, you can come. Why did God call him a man after his own heart? Because he was quick to repent. And thank God for that. Thank God we can find a place of repentance. We can turn some things around. The Bible says, God is not mocked. For whatso a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God forgave David, but there were consequences for David's actions. He's a giant killer. He's a lion slayer. You don't hear this other side of David. We want to shout from the mountaintops. And he did all the great things, but David had a problem. And God forgave him. But the moment you turn your light off is the moment you affect everybody else around you. And from that time, Brother Reuben, he created a dysfunctional family. He started off right, going after a giant that defied Israel, defied God. Now finds himself trying to pick up pieces that he broke, trying to somehow let that light shine again. Somewhere in the process, his kids got messed up. Had one turn on him by the name of Absalom. Before he went to another city, had people calling him the next king. He wanted that throne. Absalom dies. A soldier that cut his head off. Absalom was chasing his daddy, trying to kill his daddy. A soldier that brought the head of his boy. I think that was a reminder. That's why David got, and he was a daddy, of course, but it was a reminder, Brother Vic, that he messed up. Because of what I did, I lost my boy. Tamar was defiled. Amnon, defiled. His own sister, because David slept. Because David turned the light off. But then we had a ray of hope. We had Solomon come through. The wisest man to have ever lived. And yet, what was his sin? The sin of daddy. God, help me today. Help me not to bring a curse on my kids and my family. The thing that I battled, let me forevermore put it under the blood. Let me not take off my armor. Let me not stray away from the fight, but God, tonight, if I've ever had a voice for my family, let that voice be heard now. Let me intercede for my home. Let me break the curse. Oh, I need moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, young men, young ladies. I need somebody to make up their mind. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to keep my armor on. I'm going to stay in the fight. I'm going to stand up in this untoward generation. And I'm going to live for him. Come on. What's this mean to you? What's this worth to you? I know we can't change yesterday, but we can change today. God, let my house, let it become a house of prayer. Let people, when they step into my home, let them feel you. Let them know there is a difference. God, when I'm at my job, let them see you through me. I've got friends that need this. I've got loved ones that need this. God, help me to break that curse. Help me to break that evil curse. Help me bring the blessings and the favor back to my home and to my lineage. Come on, lift up your voice in this house tonight. Come on. If there's ever been a time for intercessors, it's now. If there's ever been a time for prayer warriors, it's now. If there's ever been a time for soldiers to stay in the fight, it's now. If there's ever been anybody that choosing the kingdom of God, today is the day. Come on, somebody, weep for your family. Somebody weep for your home. Somebody weep for your kids. Help me, God. Search my heart. Know my ways. I want to please you, God. Come on. Come on. Not a time to back up. Not a time to run away. It's a time to arise from our bed. It's a time to arise out of our sleep and out of our slumber. God, you can count on me. I'll pray when nobody else wants to pray. I'll fast when nobody else wants to fast. I'll give myself to study of your word. Come on, what's this worth to you? Turn things around. Don't do it for your neighbor. Don't do it for your friends, but do it for you. Make up your mind. I'm going to cut the head off that giant once and for all. I'm going to live for you, God. I'm going to do what's right. Shatayakorasi.
Come on, Pastor. Why are you preaching like this? Because there is a thief that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. He's out to take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, God. Oh. Shataya Koras. Come on, I feel the call. I feel the call of our captain saying, arise. Oh, oh God. I want more of you. 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 Come on, let's turn this place into an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Let's spend a little time with Jesus. Let's have just a little talk with Him. Oh, God. Pour it out of my home. Pour it out of my kids. I want to dwell with you. I want to commune with you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to hear my voice. You mean everything to me, God. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Come on. There's a call to arms. There's a call to battle. Hallelujah. Come on, don't let religion rock you to sleep. Don't let the world try to influence you. Let God do a work that no man can do. Hear His voice. Hear Him knocking at the door of your heart tonight. Oh. Come on, why don't you find somebody to pray with? Find somebody to connect with. Don't leave this house until you've had a talk with God. Be with you, you can make me. Come on, that's beautiful. I feel the presence of the Lord here. Linger in His presence. Linger in His courts. Oh God, I love you. Pray for my home, God. Be in my home, God. Hallelujah. We need you, God. We need you, God. Gotta have you. Every area, every aspect of my life. Oh God. Hallelujah. Shatayako rasiyaraka.